any of the other famous parables, whether about the mustard seed or the prodigal son or the servant who buries his talents, are equally multidimensional. The actors in them can be seen as aspects of the soul. In fact, these vignettes are so effective and colorful that the soul gets overlooked. The same happens in real life. It is very hard to realize that our origin, our source, is not of this world. Here I am with all my qualities. People see me and hear me, they believe in my existence. Yet my reality is paper thin at the quantum level, where there is no sound, sight, texture, color, or anything else recognizable. The soul is the junction point between my virtual self and my physical self. It is the organizing intelligence that keeps me intact. This is an exceptional feat, given that every atom of my body is pure empty space, with flashes of energy passing through it for no more than a few millionths of a second. Reality is truly sneaking up on us from nowhere and catching us off guard at every second. In a beautiful aphorism, the great Bengali poet Tagore says, "Life is only the perpetual surprise that I exist." It is unsettling to confront the fact that none of my cherished qualities are real. Yet, it is a fact. Let us say that I like the color blue, feel happy, and value my personal freedom. These are three disparate qualities about me. But when I get in my car and drive across town, does the color blue move with me? When I take a bath, does my happiness get wet? When I go to bed, does my personal freedom go to sleep? It was just this sort of questioning that made the ancient sages realize that we must possess a soul. There is something intangible and undefined about us that gets born into this world as a visible, defined creation. In the Bhagavad Gita, this aspect is called the inward dweller, and it is said that fire cannot burn it, water cannot make it wet, wind cannot blow it away, and a sword cannot cut it in two. For all the poetry in that expression, the fact of the soul appears to be undeniable, for stripped of all religious connotations, the essence of each person cannot be reduced to matter or thoughts or any fixed quality. If you try to do without the soul, you wind up with a handful of nothing. To underscore this, I need to bring back the concept of the field. A magnet attracts iron because it creates a magnetic field around itself. As we saw before, the field doesn't move, yet the iron does. If you tried to locate the exact point where the unmoving field touches the moving iron, where would you be? The answer is that you would be at the point of uncertainty. A very definite object, a piece of iron, is interacting with a completely undefined thing, a field. The two get closer and closer. The iron starts out as a solid lump of matter with weight and motion. The field starts out with no solidity or motion or any other material qualities. They approach, and of course, neither one wants to give up its nature. The field wants to remain boundless, timeless, and undefined. The iron wants to remain exactly the opposite. Inevitably, they meet as strangers, barely shaking hands, suspicious of each other. This is the region of uncertainty where the defined world meets the undefined world. It connects two very different worlds without living in either. At this point of uncertainty, a photon may shoot out of a star to travel across the universe, yet nothing really travels. Only a certain charge flickers into existence, passes its energy to another charge, and disappears again. It is as real as anything gets, or to put it another way, as unreal as anything gets. There is a Zen story about two disciples who are looking at a flag fluttering in the breeze. "See that?" one says. "No one can doubt that the flag is moving." The other disagrees. "No, it is the wind moving. The flag has no motion of its own." They continue this debate until the master comes along and he says, "You are both wrong. Only consciousness is moving." This is the kind of tale that gets often repeated as the answer to a Zen riddle, but which no one really understands. Now we are in a position to see the point. The flag stands for any material object that seems to move. The wind is the invisible force or field that creates the motion. But in the deeper reality, neither is moving, only consciousness, which means intelligence, is at work, here and in all things. It is profound to realize that my true self is not rooted in time and space. Virtual reality is my source, and like a light wave, my body flows out of it, but the source doesn't go anywhere. Therefore, my connection to that source doesn't go anywhere either. Thus, the soul is part of me, but not any part my senses will ever detect. No religious claim is being made here. These are stubborn quantum facts. I have never left my source. It is always with me. The famous detachment of great sages comes from knowing full well that they are not confined by any fixed definition. Tagore has a beautiful way of expressing this. When I was born and saw the light, I was no stranger in this world. Something inscrutable, shapeless, and without words appeared in the form of my mother. So when I die, the same unknown will appear again as ever known to me. The metaphor of birth is totally appropriate because the timeless doesn't just turn into time. Something entirely new is born. Infinity doesn't merely shrink until it becomes small and manageable. Numberless dimensions give birth to just three or four. What you call your soul manages this birth, not once, but thousands of times per second. I call this concept Genesis Now. There can never be a single Genesis, since virtual reality would just swallow everything back up again. Supergravity, like an immense yawning black hole, has an insatiable appetite. It wants to devour time and make it timeless. It wants to engulf matter and energy to return them to virtual photons. Why isn't the whole world swallowed up? Because creation insists on happening. Life can't be stopped, even by the infinite forces arrayed against it. Genesis Now is the ongoing project that is behind all your actions. Soul work never stops. Attempting to put yourself in a box, defining yourself by labels and qualities until you are a finished product once and for all, is as false as trying to put God in a box. The great spiritual traditions have been trying to tell us this with all their teachings. We would otherwise forget that the constant churning of eternity, infinity, and immortality is all that is happening. There is nothing else. That alone makes us real.